You're listening to Trust Me, You're Broke. I'm your host, Julia, a millennial consultant in banking, here to give you some tips and tricks on how to make, save, and grow your money. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Trust Me, You're Broke. I'm back from my break and I'm hoping that 2021 is going to treat us much better. I'm actually really excited to come back and record an episode because there's a lot to talk about, guys, and it's a new year, so it's the perfect time to go on a financial detox. Now, what's a financial detox, you ask? Well, as the name suggests already, it's basically like a detox for your body, except that this one is going to be a detox for your personal finances. So to kick the year off right, today we're going to talk about financial planning and goal setting. Now, a quick note before I begin, you may have noticed that my podcast cover design has changed, and that's because it's a part of my resolution this year to actually get my Wealth by Julia Instagram account started. So make sure you go follow me on Instagram and we can chat there. All right, now back to regular programming. So actually, ahead of the New Year's, I recently sat down and kind of went through a view of my savings goals for 2021. I felt like 2020 was a really successful year for me when it came to personal finance. I've grown a lot. I've learned a lot. A big part of that is because I work, you know, in banking. But another big part, I think, is that I've really reassess my goals and my priorities for the next 5 to 10 years and have geared up my savings and my earnings for that. So this year, I wanted to kind of get ahead of the New Year's resolution phase of January 1st and just sit down with myself and assess what is a realistic amount that I can really shoot for. So this year, I actually have a super stretch target of $30,000. And I'm emphasizing that this is a super stretch target because it's actually about half my salary after taxes. So if you're new to the savings and investing world, or you have more important financial obligations, so for example, if you have loans, if you have student debt, for example, if you have mortgages to pay off, or you have children, I would definitely not recommend you follow suit and try and save 50% of your net income, because that wouldn't really be realistic. So definitely don't feel pressured when you hear that, you know, I'm trying to save close to 50% of my net income. As well, I'm actually including my yearly bonus into this equation, which makes it much more attainable for me to kind of save throughout the year. Now, the kind of rule of thumb recommendation out there is that you start with saving 10% of your net income. So if you're new to this, I would really highly recommend you start with that. It's just like going on a diet. You can't ask yourself to lose, you know, half the weight that you already have in the first month. So get yourself acquainted to this whole saving thing, and then you can kind of increase the percentage amount. So with that said, I want us to get started right away on creating our goals and also critically assessing where we're at today. So in this episode, I'm going to show you how to critically assess your financial situation today as it stands, and then also different ways out there that you can go about making goals and budgeting. Now, make sure you stay till the end to hear which method I chose and how I am budgeting for this year. So before we go into goal setting and planning, we need to understand what our financial situation is right now. So the first part of that is to actually determine your net worth. And how to calculate your net worth is to take your assets. So your assets are things like your cash that you have on hand right now, whether that's, you know, physical cash or money in your bank account. And then there's other assets, like if you own a home, if you own a car, for example, these can all be assets that you include into this equation. Then the second part to this equation is the liabilities. So when we talk liabilities, it's things like credit card debt, student loans, anything that you owe is considered a liability. Now, the only thing that I wouldn't include that's technically a liability, but that shouldn't be included in this net worth, is if you have a mortgage. For some reason, mortgage is usually counted within the value of your home, and therefore it kind of is counted as an asset more so than a liability. So then you take the assets and then you take the liability and you minus the liability from your assets to get the net worth. Now, I know, if you went to business school, this is a super textbook answer. And you're probably like, okay, this is an equation I've heard 1 million times, so I understand it. But in a realistic sense, it's actually really important to kind of do this mental calculation, just rough amounts. It doesn't have to be super detailed, but on a regular basis. And the reason why it's really important is because I think a lot of people misunderstand just how much wealth they have or how much net worth they are at. And that's because a lot of us like to look at the good parts of our personal finance, but not the bad part. So we look at the amount of cash that's in our bank account and we go, wow, I'm saving up so much money. But you're saving up so much money because you're delaying paying off your credit card, because paying off your credit card is a painful feeling. I totally get you, which is why we need to do this net worth calculation for any future payments that we would have to make. And that way we're preventing overestimating our wealth and thinking, oh, I have a lot of purchasing power, when you don't, because in the future you're going to have to make payments to pay off your debt or your loans, for example. So now once you have your net worth, the second part of assessing your financial situation is to figure out your financial flow, which, you know, in financial terms are cash flow. And in layman's terms, it's basically your income. Now, what's really important is that a lot of people like to calculate their income based on gross income, which means, you know, the amount that's written on your contract somewhere that says, oh, we're going to pay you $50,000, we're going to pay you $100,000, whatever it may be. But that's not the real amount of money that's coming into your wallet. We all know this, right? We go, okay, I make $120,000 divided by 12, so I should have $10,000 in my pocket. But that's not how it works, because tax gets deducted, insurance gets deducted, etc. Now, by the way, I only used 120K as an example because it's easy to divide it by 12. So don't think, oh my God, does she make 120K? Or like, does she think that's like the regular amount that people should make? No, I just chose that because it's easy to do the math. So the most accurate way to do the math, obviously, is to check your payslips to understand on a monthly or biweekly or bi-monthly basis, whatever it may be, the frequency, how much you're making. That's the most accurate way of doing it. So before the New Year's, when I was assessing my financial situation, that's exactly what I did. I went into my bank account. I checked, I think, in the last 12 months, what my biweekly pay looked like. The thing is, I actually got a raise because I got promoted within this year. So there was quite a big jump between a certain time period, which is why I ended up using, I think, 3 months worth of pay to understand how much I'm going to make in the near future this year. But I understand that, you know, either you don't have time or you just don't want to go into that much detail. So one easy way of understanding just how much real purchasing power you have is to go on Google and search income calculator. And basically you can calculate automatically. You input your gross income per year and the province that you live in. And this is based on Canada, by the way, the province that you live in. And then it will kind of automatically calculate the tax amount, the insurance and all of that, and give you an estimate of how much money you would be receiving on a monthly or weekly or biweekly basis. And this is a really quick and easy way of just giving yourself a reality check of, oh yeah, I make, I don't know, $50,000 a year, but really that counts to, you know, $32,000 in real dollars. So that's just like a really good way of giving yourself a big picture of how much you really make. Now, once you have a good picture in mind of how you're doing financially, now it's time to set a goal and to budget accordingly. My current goal right now is to be able to buy a place in the next 3 years. And this is without any type of external help, such as like parents giving me money to buy a place. So it's a really ambitious goal to have, which is why my target savings percentage is quite high compared to the norm. So depending on the goal that you have in mind, whether that's a short-term, mid-term, or long-term goal, the percentage that you're saving or what amount you're saving might be a little different. And depending on that, the strategy or the approach you take to save and budget might be a little different. So I have for you different approaches you can take to budget and save your money. The first way is called classic budgeting. And what that means is basically you understand how much of each category you want to allocate the dollars to. And then on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, you're tracking your expenditure. So according to this famous kind of financial advisor or financial influencer out there, Dave Ramsey, there are around 11 categories that you should be tracking and budgeting for. And he actually introduces a pie chart where he kind of divides the amounts for each category that your money should be going into. So the biggest being, for example, 25 to 35% of that pie should be in housing costs. So you can do a calculation of the net amount or the net amount of pay that you're getting on a monthly basis, and then calculate 25 to 30% of that net income to understand technically how much rent you could afford, for example. Now, in this episode, I'm not going to go through the entire 11 categories, but if you are interested, you can just search up Dave Ramsey budgeting, for example, and you can see the pie chart very easily. He really breaks it down. And this is the classical way of budget. And that is to try and categorize all of the expenditures that you're making, tracking them on a set frequency to try and understand kind of where the money is going, and then trying to restrict your expenditure to a certain percentage that you have preset for yourself. Now, personally, I'm not a huge fan of the classic budgeting method, but if you are, there's actually a lot of apps out there these days that would automatically track that for you if you link your debit or credit card. So you can look into that. I used to use Mint, which is by Intuit. And so that was really helpful for a while. But what I found is that when you're tracking every single transaction that you're making and then trying to categorize it, A, sometimes it just doesn't fit into one category. But also I found using apps or like tracking every single day, what happened is that I started to become numb from all of the alerts that I was getting regarding my expenditure. So instead of it becoming like this system where it was alarming me of how much I was spending, it would just be another message to ignore. And so it didn't really work for me. It might work for you, but I found it to be more like a nuisance than it was helpful in helping me save. So there's a methodology that I use, but I'll save that to the end. The kind of toned down version of this classic budgeting is actually the classic 50-30-20 rule. And this is something that was created by US Senator Elizabeth Warren, actually. And it's become a very well-known, they call it the quote-unquote rule of thumb when it comes to budgeting and saving. So what it is 50% on needs, 30% on wants, and 20% on savings or investing towards any financial goal. So obviously, without going into too much detail, the needs portion, the 50%, is basically on required payments. So whether that's loans, whether that's, you know, car payments, rent, food, all of that go into this 50% bucket. Now, this 30% bucket is called the wants. So that's travel, you know, shopping, anything that's not necessarily required, but it's a luxury that everyone wants to enjoy, you know, at some point in their lives. It's really important to still have that budget allocated to do fun stuff, entertainment, for example. So that's why there's 30% allocated to that. And then the last 20% is either in cash savings or making any financial investment. Now, in the earlier portion of this episode, I did say that you should save at least 10% as a starter. I would start with that first, and then gradually, if you can get it to 20%, then you have a really healthy savings rate. And depending on where you're listening from, you could be more ambitious. I am, you know, recording this from Toronto, a very expensive city to live in. So I understand if you do live in a huge metropolitan city where it's really expensive and the cost of living is makes me sad, but you know, then 10% savings is pretty healthy already. But if you're living in a relatively cheaper city where it's easier for you to save, where the rent, you know, the 50% that need portion is not as big, then you can save more, 20% or even 30%, 40%, whatever it may be. So as you can see, the proportions are not as specific and categorized as the Dave Ramsey method, which might be a lot more approachable and easier to start with, because as soon as you know your net monthly income, then you can just say, okay, half of that is going to the needs. You know, 30% of this is going to the wants and 20% on the rest of the things that I want to invest in. So it's easier to kind of do the calculation. Now, this last method that I'm going to introduce to you is the method that I choose to use on a daily basis, and it's called the reverse budgeting method. And that's really just a fancy term for paying yourself first. And what this essentially means is kind of switching your mentality from restricting yourself to paying yourself. And that sounds really weird, but basically, when you get your pay, think of yourself as a corporation. If you're a company, if you're a corporation, you have to pay out your employees first before you can reap the benefits of the profit, right? So the same logic can be applied here. When you get your biweekly or monthly income, instead of tracking every single expenditure and hating yourself for spending too much, what you do is as soon as you get your paycheck, you would pay yourself first. And this can be as easy as, okay, for every paycheck that I get, I'm going to save 10% of that. I'm going to pay myself that amount first. And paying yourself, quote unquote, can be transferring that amount to another savings account that you have, for example. And that essentially makes the money invisible for you. And technically, you had paid yourself first. So you can predetermine a realistic percentage that you know should be going into your savings. This can be 10%, 20%, as with Elizabeth Warren. It could be 50% like me if you're cuckoo. And in fact, it could actually be a dollar amount as well. So instead of saying, oh, 10% of my paycheck, which amounts to $7.6952, you can say, okay, for every paycheck, I'm going to save $200. So this is the method I've been using in 2020, but I am going to be a lot more specific with my dollar amount and a lot more consistent this year. I have already calculated a realistic dollar amount that I should be saving per paycheck. My first paycheck hasn't come in yet for January, so I am waiting for that opportunity, but that's what I'll be doing for the rest of 2020 is every paycheck I get, I'm going to pay myself. And how I'm going to pay myself, I have already allocated, is 70% of that pay that I pay myself with is going to go into investments, and then 30% is going to be held in cash. I don't like to hold a lot of cash, as I said, probably a gazillion times by now, which is why my proportions are like that. But this is the methodology that has worked really well with me, because then I know whatever's left in my checkings account, for example, is there for me to spend on the necessities and anything else that I want to spend it on. And in that way, I don't have to worry about, you know, am I on target, off target? Am I spending way too much? Am I spending way too little? I already have that portion paid out to me before even spending the money that I had made. In addition to kind of paying myself a chunk first, what I also like to do, of course, is I like to pay my necessary bills, so my credit card bills and also my rent, in a separate bank account. So what I do is I transfer that amount of money on a certain regular basis into that bank account so that, again, that money is also invisible. And then I focus on using the primary checking account to make any other expenditures. And so in this way, I don't have to track every single line item and to try and restrict myself. Instead, I can see already visually, oh, this is the chunk of money that I have for the next 2 weeks. I can choose to spend all of it and I'll still be on track. Or I can choose to spend less of it and I can actually save more money for more investments or for other expenditures. All right, that's all I have on budgeting for today. Which budgeting method did you like the most? And also, what are your New Year's resolutions and financial goals? Let me know at Wealth by Julia on Instagram, and I'll talk to you soon. Hope today's episode was informative and fun. If you'd like to show me some support and also want to get started on Wealthsimple today, I actually have a referral link in my description that you can use at sign up. If you use my link, you can get your first $10,000 managed for free for the next 12 months. That's an extra 0.5% savings, which, by the way, is higher than a bank's savings account interest rate. But I didn't tell you that. If you like this episode, please give my podcast a like, a 5-star review, and a follow.
Also, go follow me at Wealth by Julia on Instagram for more tips and tricks. I'll talk to you soon.